the second half of the Carol Burnett Show.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment. You can listen to The Mike O'Mara Show at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Well, what have we here?
It's a podcast.
Fine.
And what excitement we have today.
It's The Mike O'Mara Show with Mike O'Mara and Rob Spiewak. Now, here's Mike.
Sunday night bliss for me is when something comes across my feed at that particular hour, probably around the 7 later than 7 p.m. hour, where I have to kind of put everything down and say, oh my God, I got to use this for the show. There's nothing ever that makes me happier. And so that happened to me last night, where I said, this video, I have to get it right out to the guys, because they're going to enjoy this tomorrow. Because and I was able in a very short time to create a mini game out of it. And I don't want to overstate this, but this is what I like to. I wrote it down: the TMOS word pronunciation game. And
so this is what you do on Sunday nights now that they've canceled 60 Minutes?
Yeah.
You just do this game?
Now that it's no longer on the air, and you got to reboot because it is you popping and clicking again. So,
all right.
I'll
so
wait
long,
for
friends.
You. I'll chat with Josh, because we've got a bet to talk about. Rob will join us back in a second. And Josh, it's our teams. Now, I have to tell you this, that the Red Sox play the Orioles starting tonight. And the Red Sox are coming off an absolute lame-ass loss to the Florida Marlins with their porous bullpen. Go ahead.
The Orioles had a rough Sunday as well.
Okay. They've had a lot of rough Sundays.
Well, they won 12-0.
Oh, they did? You got me. Yes. Okay. So they're kind of coming in with a little bit of a hop in their step then.
They brought up their number one and number three prospects this weekend.
And it's immediately paid dividends?
They've both made impacts right away, yes. So it seems to work. Yesterday, the oldest player in the Orioles lineup was Adley Rutschman, who I believe is 24 years old.
It's interesting you mention that, because one of the things they were saying about the Florida Marlins when the Red Sox played them yesterday is that they were carefree because they were all such babies. They were all young guys swinging hard, going for it, and that is something that can be very, very good in baseball, because the Red Sox are kind of this veteran outfit. So they play how many games? Three games?
Only two.
It's a two-game series, Monday night and Tuesday night. Wow. Okay. Well, the Red Sox had an opportunity to gain in the division, but they blew it. I'm not a big believer in saving pitchers. I think if you have a great arm that's on the bench that can come in and close the game, you put him in.
I agree, too. I don't like giving up losses.
And managers will come in and say, he's resting this game. Because we didn't want to put him in the last game. We had to put him in both games because your other relievers suck. So put in your good guy. That's what I think.
And that's the problem Buck Showalter made for the Orioles years ago when we were in the playoffs, by trying to save the closer for when we would get the save. But then you put in a lesser pitcher and blew the game and you lost it.
And it sucks. So tonight it is going to be Red Sox high. Everything working?
Better than ever.
Red Sox, Orioles tonight, Monday and Tuesday night. And I don't know if we want to do. I used to do baseball bets. I've never had a lot of success with baseball bets. I really haven't. I've had to do horrible things to my body.
You don't need to wear leather or dye hair or anything that.
And we're not going to that bar you went to on the bonus show.
No.
How about this? If you sweep the Red Sox, I will do the entire show on Wednesday with an Orioles hat on.
Okay.
What about you?
I can do the same.
Okay. All right. If it's one and one, nobody gets hurt.
All right.
I thought if it was split, I could wear a hat.
You wear hats anyway. Okay, that's great. If they split, if the Red Sox win one, that's a great idea, Rob, and the Orioles win one, Rob has to wear, let's make it painful for him in a way where he has to, go out and get it.
No. We don't. None of these bets are to go out and get things. You already own it.
Do you have a Red Sox hat?
Yeah, I have a Red Sox hat.
And I have an Orioles hat from when my kid played in that tournament.
And that's what my and I've got it from my son. I bought him a gift when we went to Fenway.
Okay.
I've got a little pillbox hat, like something Jackie O would wear. I don't really. I was just kidding.
Have we seen your top hat yet? Yeah.
Yeah, well, I wore it to the appearance.
But what didn't you get two hats?
I got a derby as well.
Well, we haven't seen the derby yet.
Okay, if they split
you,
now,
you
the
wear
derby
headphones up. Though, so hats are. Do you have earbuds that you can wear during a show?
I can do like this. I'm sure. Okay. I can do it, or I'll figure out something.
All right,
but it's not going to be a split anyway. I don't think.
Well, they say, I think there's a good chance it might be.
Yeah.
So let me ask you this, Rob. What kind of hats would you suggest for you?
Let's see. I don't have any really baseball-centric hats. I have a...
Have to be baseball.
I have a Jimmy's hat. I have several TMOS hats. I have a Richmond Flying Squirrels hat. If I had a wig, I'd be wearing it. Don't be silly.
Could you?
I have a pork pie hat. I have a straw fedora. I have an easy to roll fedora.
Do you have any of those in like Dulles Town Center? Do you have any? I don't want you spending a lot of money either, but do you online? No. Yeah.
Well, what is your fantasy?
What I'd like
we'll
you
make
to
it
wear
come
what,
true.
In a real perfect world. I would like you to wear an inexpensive hairpiece.
All right.
Not a wig from a costume shop, but like
a realistic one.
A cheap, but you know, cheap for someone who is really trying to do it.
Right.
Is that a possibility at all?
Would
there be?
So I think I could do an Amazon Prime and get it here in time.
Okay, why don't then if you get it in, even if there's no split, we'll save it for something special. Yes, Josh, go ahead.
Well, I was thinking that special show might be all three of us come in with wigs.
Well, so I certainly could benefit. You would be the most challenged.
Well, I mean,
I'd have to go longer or shorter. But I just mean an odd show.
So if the Orioles sweep, I wear an Orioles hat. The Red Sox sweep, Josh wears his Red Sox hat. And if if there's a split, which is probably the greatest possibility, we all come in with some sort of hairpiece.
All of us. That'd be great.
All of us.
Yeah.
I think a split, you're kissing your cousin. You all lose.
I think that would be wonderful.
You haven't seen my cousin.
And that means that the hairpieces will probably be put on display no matter what.
So maybe we should pay off the bet on Thursday.
Okay.
Because that'll give us a chance to figure it out on Wednesday.
Okay, that's great. We will do that.
Everyone, don't forget your toupee glue.
Toupee glue. Some of them now have a sticky backing where you just peel them on.
You peel and stick. But I think
if I wanted to really spend money, and they are expensive, the good ones.
Well, the good ones are, yeah.
I got a guy, I used to get my hair cut at a place that was called Barbershop Prosthetic, which meant they had hair pieces. Like the real stick-on hair pieces that they would use for people.
Yeah.
And I, you know.
Well, I will buy a hair piece
from a funeral home.
Well, yeah, because I stopped by to buy my mortician's wax anyway.
Right.
The thing, if we wear it on Thursday, when we wear them on Thursday, we all have to make up a celebrity that we thought inspired the wig, and it'll be up to the other people to guess who we're being.
Wait, give me that again. You're making it complicated.
This
is the way it is if you play poker with them, too.
One game 15 years ago, Josh, and never live it down.
So what are you doing trying to ruin it? What is it?
I wanted to ruin it by saying that we had to determine which celebrity the wig made us look like.
And that can be fun.
And the other people had to guess it, yeah.
That like when we get them all on.
Yeah.
And by the way, I think Rob and I are the same, where you would really, you and I both would approach this the same way. Neither one of us wants to spend a tremendous amount of money on this. But with that said, to get the most realistic look for the money. So I hope you share your information with me on this, so because I'm the next one that's hair challenged.
Avoid is my grandfather had a mechanic he worked with for many years named Jim Will, And Jim Will was a great mechanic because the delivery truck for our furniture store was not safe at all. So every year, Jim Will would just come over and put the inspection sticker on the truck without inspecting it, which was nice. But Jim Will wore the same toupee for about 30 years. And I know that at one time, the top matched his natural hair on the bottom. But
I am struggling right now to come up with the newsman I worked with at WIRE. I got it. Shouldn't mention the name. I really shouldn't.
You can mention his first name.
Well, no, because it's the first name. I'll just say the initials were NB. And he and I went to our business manager's home for a party, a pool party. We had a race in the pool, and I beat him by like a length of the pool, and he a like 2-3 feet. And when he came in, his toupee, which was tied on the bottom with strands of hair that he had, flipped up, and he quickly corrected it. And it was one of the most horrific things
like,
I'd ever seen.
Like David Spade and Tommy Boy.
Exactly when like David Spade and back. Tommy Boy. And you could always tell, looked like a piece of, best I ever heard, might have been Don Rickles. It looks like a piece of lettuce on his head. which is what it was.
By the time Jim Will and my grandfather had gotten older, there was a pure stripe of gray that surrounded his head, and then the beautiful chocolatey brown toupee on top.
I've just always been a believer, if you don't have it, you get rid of it. That's it. But
you got
they
to.
Do. I have online seen multiple examples of these high-end hair places where they do this really meticulous hair replacement where they kind of get the thing measured and then they kind of glue it back. And
there's
then
usually
it really
like,
is stuck on with a heavy-duty adhesive.
Not that I've researched it, Mike, but there on the expensive one, there seems to be almost like a thin netting, like almost a nylon netting that glues to the front of your head that you don't see.
Yeah,
and that way
cool.
you can see it sort of disappear into your regular hair. But I've never I don't like wearing wigs. I think the last time I wore a wig was as Amy Winehouse, which was not really striving for reality. It was just a big, big wig.
Hey, Chris Arnold, I wish I'd seen that before. He had a hat suggestion that I think is just about perfect.
I see it. Thank you, Chris.
Would you like to read it?
Yeah, it's a dunce hat. Although, if I were to go to a cone-shaped hat, I want you to know it would be a wizard's hat with stars and moons on it.
Do you have that?
No, but I can get one. I can get one.
I would think, I would imagine your house has like a closet with
costumes
of just like all sorts of weird crap that you keep.
It's not like that. Everything is well organized, and it's not like that at all.
All right, so we really, as we often do, we went off on a tangent there, but I like the idea of the wigs. Let's keep in touch and figure that out. But I have to say this: that once I saw this video last night about. I came up with the idea for the TMOS word pronunciation guide. I hope you enjoy it as much as I do. I know Rob will. I really do. Oh, that's right. So, Josh, we are kind of live on TikTok right now. Are you doing your background shot now that you're an influencer?
I'm trying. I'm told there's some audio issues, so it might be turned off in a little
bit. Okay. So let's get right to it. And this is the TMOS word pronunciation guide. The way this is going to work, we're going to go through a series of words. And we're going to, explain how they're properly pronounced. And I don't think we're going to have much trouble with it. And then following that, we will give you the video that I sent to Josh. And I hope he cranks it up so that we can really, really enjoy this. But he has left the stream.
He's with us.
I'm here. It just says that my camera has stopped working.
Do you think that has something to do with the...
Oh, look, you're back.
I don't know. All right, now there you are. You're
so, Mike, this is a game of education. Is this also a game of competition?
No. This is all for the purposes of setting up the video. All right.
So, very good.
Let's get right to it without further ado.
All right.
So this is just to tell me how it's pronounced, and we're going to start. Our first word, if you can see it. Now, should I go like this? And
it's going in
and out of phone.
It's best to hold it by your chin, I think, like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Right there.
Right. Please, would you like to pronounce that word? Josh, you go first.
Amish.
All right. And Rob Spiewak?
Amish.
Very good.
Okay. Right.
Ready for our second word?
I am.
All right. Oh, sorry. All right. Second word.
It's okay, Grandpa.
Crumbs.
Rob?
Crumbs.
Very good. Nice job, boys. You're doing really, really well.
Thank you.
So far. Our next word, please.
Crust.
Josh? Crust. Rob?
Crust.
No, don't fool around with it.
Crust, of course, crust, like on a cake, on a piece of bread.
You've consumed many crusts in your time.
I have.
Mm-hmm. Next word?
Pudding.
I don't write it. It's just, Rob, would you like to pronounce it?
The judges missed Josh's pronunciation. They need a repeat.
Oh, please, Josh. This might be one where Josh might be worse than the video.
Mike?
It's really more of a slur on the video, but Rob, would you please pronounce it correctly?
Pudding.
Pudding. Thank you.
He got the pudding. It's the pudding.
And then our final word, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, I know how he's going to say this.
Milk.
Yeah,
okay,
milk.
And
milk.
Go ahead. Milk.
Milk.
All right.
Like Harvey Milk.
If you're keeping track at home, we have milk, followed by pudding, crust, crumbs, and Amish.
You know, it's almost like you could write a story about heading up to Pennsylvania and buying a beautiful pudding pie.
As you might have guessed, this video contains a recipe. And,
okay.
Now that we've pronounced these words correctly, let's get right to the recipe video. Take it away.
My favorite Amish dessert. Start with 1/4 cup peanut butter, 2 cups powdered sugar, and use a fork to make crumbs. Once you got your crumbs, put them in a pre-baked pie crust. Now you're going to get another 1/4 cup peanut butter, a small cheesecake, Jell-O, and some pudding mix, and 3 cups milk. Combine. Add in 4 ounces of cool whip.
Whip.
Full gently.
Oh, I forgot whip.
Place that on top of those crumbs. Smooth the edges. Add the rest of the crumbs on top. Refrigerate for 4 hours. Cut yourself a slice. Take a bite and enjoy.
Bye-bye.
So easy and so good. You got to try it.
Oh, you forget. You cut off the end.
I know. That's what I wanted to hear. All right. So the word you are, I forgot
you have
whip.
To your brain.
Please pronounce that word for me, Rob.
Whip. Whip. It's whip. But she says,
Josh, you want to try this one?
Yeah.
Whip.
Whip. Very good. Very, very easy.
What is it?
She said peanut odd also.
She might have. Yeah. She said it's Amish, but the best were crumbs and crust. Can we roll that video one more time, please? Mm-hmm. This lovely lady making a peanut butter.
My favorite Amish dessert.
Amish.
Start with 1/4 cup peanut butter, 2 cups powdered sugar, and use a fork to make crumbs. Once you got your crumbs, put them in a pre-baked pie crust. Now you're going to get another 1/4 cup peanut butter, a small cheesecake, Jell-O, and some pudding mix, and 3 cups milk. Combine. Add in 4 ounces of cool whip. Fold gently. Place that on top of those crumbs. Smooth the edges. Add the rest of the crumbs on top.
She's
refrigerate for 4 hours.
I don't know.
Cut yourself a slice.
It's got to be fake.
Take
a
bite and enjoy.
I don't know.
Easy and so good. You got to try it.
You got to try it.
I love the chicken on top of her fridge. Mike, you're
a rooster.
Whatever. You're a dialectician. Why is it that people sometimes invert W's and H's and say things like what or what? Whip?
Now, I use it for comic relief sometimes. When
but that was
when
genuine,
you'll ask,
I think.
You'll say something outrageous, and I'll say, what?
Yeah.
Which Letterman used to do it, too. That. Here's the thing.
Yeah.
I don't know if it was a bit. If it's a bit, it's too subtle, really, to be honest with you. Creams with that.
And I don't think it's AI because of the mic technique.
Well, I don't think it's AI either, and I don't know. And another thing I don't know if the narrator is the lady in the picture. Don't know that either because she's certainly not talking.
It could be her husband that's doing the narration. What?
Wouldn't that be interesting?
Yeah.
By the way, my Laka lady has given me now two recipes. By the way, I got to get my. Am I behind the eight ball for the recipes? Have you gotten them in yet, or what is that?
I've collected recipes from listeners, not from you or Rob. Okay. Or my, even right. myself, so, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Then that's fine.
The
then
deadline's
I'm okay
the end of the
on
month.
That one.
Is it too late to mail in multiple recipes, Josh?
No, except unless you're Jim Amato, I have gotten plenty from you.
What did Jim do?
I believe he sent me 3 this weekend.
This weekend? Has he sent others?
No, I think we're up to 3 total.
I would think that the Amato kitchen would be, there would be decent dishes that come out of that.
Well, he comes from a family that sold produce, so maybe something with fresh vegetables.
Okay. But as we've told everyone, pick your best and send your best to me.
Yeah, don't make us pick the best.
Well, like, would that indicate that Mr. Amato has sent something that wasn't his best?
I don't know. I haven't even read them.
And now that Jim is single,
and we want one, we don't want to have.
You met him in Las Vegas.
Yeah, but no, now that he's single, is it like bachelor style recipes, or is it more something intense?
I haven't read them.
Like, does it involve like a can of spaghetti and some ground beef? Is that one of his recipes?
You know, I'm jumping out of turn right now with this, but since you're talking about single, I have to get to my TV review.
Oh,
this time of year,
it moved to the top of the list.
It did. This time of year is I don't think it matters anymore. Time of year really doesn't matter. They drop streaming shows whenever they drop streaming shows, and I'm always on the lookout for something. And when I get a location-specific show where the location seems to be a major part of the show and it's someplace that I'm curious about, I dive right in. And if it looks even slightly reasonable, I will knock it out. Now, the name of the show that I'm going to tell you about, that foolishly, we got 3, maybe 4 episodes in before I last night finally just pulled the trigger and said,
okay.
No mas.
Because if I get 4 episodes into a show, I almost feel like I need to stick it out, even if I hate it. Yeah,
there is more content. This is the way I read books, too. I would have 1/3 completed, 2/3 completed books on my shelf that I just said, enough. I can't do it anymore. It's just not happening. And then there are other shows that I'll start on a Friday night, and I might be up till 3 o'clock in the morning because I have to binge it, because I literally can't wait for the next episode. So this show is called Hightown. Have you heard of it? I think it's Netflix. Hightown.
Mike, this is so weird. I think I started it and bailed. Even though that's not my modus operandi.
Being Hyannis, Massachusetts.
Yes. Yeah, I did start it. Okay, go ahead.
This is an old show, right?
Is it an old show?
Aren't we up to...
Too old, is it?
I don't think so.
In Cape Cod?
Yep, it's Cape Cod.
Season 3 is out now.
Okay, so it is. Wow.
I thought it was newer than that.
That's the first thing he does. Do you notice that, Rob?
Well, That's the first thing he does to make me feel like a rube. You can't feel like a rube because, like, I was looking on Netflix, I think, yesterday, and the top 10 movies in the world yesterday
were like 2014 or something like that.
Well, 3 of them were Kung Fu Pandas.
Yeah,
it's like
I know.
You can't trust that stuff.
No,
gets
you can't
lost.
Trust that anymore at all.
Now that you've got Robert at home. It's changing your algorithm.
He's not watching Kung Fu Panda.
No, I'm not trying to set you up as, now when you were saying it's a location-based show, I was waiting for you to say The Ozarks, which was like 10 years old.
No, that would be egregious. So,
it's a location-based show, Mike. It's called Gunsmoke.
Look, I think, and this could very well be the fact that I'm getting longer in the tooth, and perhaps the libido is not as active as it may have been in the past. I don't profess to be some sort of out of the ordinary individual. I think I'm a very normal man in his mid to late 60s. And let me tell you something about people that are older. You know, guys in particular, and I know this because I hang around a lot of guys. Hey, you never lose your curiosity. You never stop looking. You never stop being curious about it. At least I don't. But at the same time, I think that I can scrutinize a show and at a certain point say, all right. Now, enough is enough. The TV review of Hightown, all right? This is how I would describe the first 2 to 3 episodes of the show.
Okay.
The troubled Lady Alky Cop bangs a stranger. She's a lesbian. She bangs a stranger in the bar. The first mate of the lobster boat bangs his wife, who's estranged from him. The troubled Lady Alky Cop bangs a girl in rehab when she goes to rehab. The troubled Lady Alky Cop bangs her ex-girlfriend. The stripper bangs the guy in jail. The stripper bangs the cop. And this was three episodes. The banging that goes on. And some graphic, some not. Not graphic like pornography graphic, but certainly very little left to the imagination. The banging is so prolific in this particular show called Hightown that they throw the plot out. And the plot really sucks anyway, because I don't like a plot where you kind of know who did it right from the get-go. I don't like that. I like to have a little mystery. But I get that sometimes the formula of a cop show, you put that out there.
That's
so
the Columbo formula.
That's the, you know who does it. Banging, 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 banging.
That's
banging,
also
banging,
the Columbo
banging,
formula.
Banging.
Peter
just
Falk loved to have
non-stop.
Sex.
Non-stop. Yeah. And then I finally went, you know, we watched the probably three quarters of the fourth one and went, okay, enough. Can we get some headway on the plot?
So to speak.
Without having to. And it just was on and on. And I, you know, I think
was
sex
any
is
of
wonderful.
Banging?
Sex is good. Sex is fun. Sex is great when it's one-on-one.
Thank
I
you.
Really believe that this was an oversexed TV show, which I haven't said very often in my career, that the show is a tad oversexed.
You haven't said that since the Golden Girls was on.
Rue.
Yeah,
Rue McClanahan. Can you stop it, please?
Was any of the banging used for shock value, a la the Hunting Wives?
No.
Okay.
No. And by the way,
because that's a valuable tool as well.
Yeah, but I haven't gotten back to the Hunting Wives, but that starts as kind of a shock value to establish the moral character of the characters involved.
Yeah,
would
but
that
I
be
didn't.
Accurate?
Yeah, right. But I wouldn't see the interaction between the cop and his wife as what I intended to see on that.
Yeah,
show.
That was a surprise late in the show.
Oh,
yeah,
you're piquing my curiosity with that right there.
Well,
you really
it's
are.
It's right when the sex side settles down and you get invested in the crime
plot.
Story.
Yeah.
And
okay.
The plot.
All right.
That it's just this curveball.
So. Yeah. I didn't know it was three episodes. Sometimes I look at the year, and that was probably the year for season three. And I think I was on season one. I know I was on season one. Mm-hmm. And you know, and she's a troubled natural resources officer, so she's troubled by the fact they call her not a real cop because she's out there policing lobster boats, and she's troubled because she's had a tough past, and she's troubled with her alcohol and cocaine use and whatever drug seems to be available, and she's troubled with her level of intimacy because she uses sex as a weapon with some of the other women she's involved with, and she's troubled, and it's bang, 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 and then, you know, the other, it's just nobody kind of has a normal, and I think that in real life, you get some odd people, but you also have certain people that are run-of-the-mill and normal. Mm-hmm. Everybody on Cape Cod is not, you know, dysfunctional when it comes to relationships.
You've been in that area before. I mean,
I really haven't. Not as much as you would think. I have only been to the Cape twice in my entire life. And really, once, if you kind of, you know, going really down to Sandwich, Massachusetts, mm-hmm. which was across from Provincetown. Now, by the way, having P-Town, as they call it up there, as a backdrop, is wonderful because it is a very, very gay-centric town, mm-hmm. and it's got a lot to
Isn't
see.
Isn't that why you went?
Yes. Well, that's why I never made it, but I wasn't successful. But I was a freshman in high school, and I knew that Provincetown was a gay town. I knew it was, and
All right.
It really is. And they're not. Look, there are many many communities in America where they are open-armed when it comes to alternative lifestyles.
Mm-hmm.
But Provincetown was known from the very, very beginning as a safe haven for that lifestyle for men and women, and now the, you know, LGBTQA community. I mean, it's
Do they emphasize that in the program?
Yeah.
Okay.
Because they have what's called Carnival. That's a big thing up there where they have a lot of parades, pride parades, that type of thing. So it's a great backdrop. But
is it Carnival or Carnival?
You know what? It's Amish.
Oh, it is?
Can we go back to the lady that was making the dish? Should. I don't think there's any problem at all with revisiting her.
Favorite Amish dessert. Start with 1/4 cup peanut butter, 2 cups powdered sugar, and use a fork to make crumbs. Once you got your crumbs, put them in a pre-baked pie crust. Now you're going to get another 1/4 cup peanut butter, a small cheesecake, Jell-O instant pudding mix, and 3 cups milk. Combine. Add in 4 ounces of Cool Whip.
Whip.
Fold gently. Place that on top of those crumbs. Smooth the edges. Add the rest of the crumbs on top. Refrigerate for 4 hours. Cut yourself a slice. Take a bite and enjoy. So easy and so good. You gotta try it.
Nice serving, by the way. And I've got a question.
Yeah, really, where it just comes
Would
out
you like a pile
big,
of feces on your plate?
A giant clot is what it comes out as, right?
Okay, she's saying it's an Amish recipe. Yes. Let's count the things in it that the Amish people would not use. A pre-baked pie crust, peanut butter from a jar,
right?
Cheesecake Jell-O.
Yeah, no.
And Cool Whip, which is made, I think, out of just oil.
So, what was the show with Sandra Dee? What was the Food Network show where she worked with semi-homemade? Is that
what it was? Yeah. It was, I think.
I hate that crap.
I do, too.
I hate that crap.
Hate and
that,
it. Yeah, and
the
by
whole
the way,
thing with great food is you make food from, the beginning. That's what I think.
I've been sort of mentally processing peanut butter and cheesecake Jell-O.
Yeah.
And it's disgusting.
Because it looked like almost a lime cheesecake or something.
Ugh.
Well, and whatever tool she uses at the beginning to pull out the peanut butter.
Yeah, nastiness.
There's no measurement there.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, that's not how the Amish do it. I don't think they believe in measuring.
And we may never, ever hear from her again, which is sad. But I'll try to follow and see what happens.
Oh, I thought perhaps she died because she ate the pie.
Yeah, okay. Listen,
sadly,
before we
Mike,
continue.
The chef has a peanut allergy and is no longer with us.
The chef has left the building. Josh, I am sorry to hear that the first hurricane of the season, which they said was going to go way out to sea, is not necessarily going way out to sea. What is the latest on Hurricane Erin that they are now saying might require an evacuation of Josh's hang, the Outer Banks? And first of all, are your parents up there?
Yep.
And what's going on?
I have texted with my parents at the top of the show, and they there's an evacuation so far for Dare County, which is further south.
Okay.
So they're not evacuating at the moment, and they think they're in Corolla.
Corolla.
Okay. Corolla. People there. So.
Corolla.
Do they say Corolla up
they
there?
They say Corolla.
They
the
say
locals
Amish,
say Corolla.
Mm-hmm.
Fools.
So right now everything's fine, and they still say it might turn away and not hit anything, but they're looking at the southern Outer Banks as possible.
What it's worth, Mike, up here in D.C., they're sort of soft selling it. They showed the track of it, and they're saying it's going to stay offshore, but people on the coast need to watch out for beach erosion and heavy waters.
Look,
but that, to me, doesn't
sound
like an evacuation crisis.
And it doesn't sound, I think it might be better
flooded.
Safe than sorry.
Yeah,
with that
I understand.
Type of
I'm just saying
storm
that we're not getting the urgency up here about
here,
it.
So. It reminds me of just how difficult it is still to nail down where these things are going with the cone. And for somebody who's lived through multiples of these things, it reminds me how difficult it can be, especially for someone who in September is going into the Dominican Republic, way out there where, they get whacked every now and then. It's just a very, very strange world. And when I saw that today, when Josh said, I think I heard it right before I came into the show. So keep an eye on it. We'll say, but it is a monster, right? It is a Cat 5 right now, or has it diminished a little bit? It's so, I hate them. I hate them so bad. I really do. They wrecked my town. I hate them bad. And then they came back and they almost wrecked it again. Milton, it's just, our thoughts are with everybody out there because the Carolinas can get whacked.
You don't want to reduce your house to crooms.
Creams. Yeah, well, you know, if we do get power go out, let me see. Can I still make that? Yeah, it'll still the cool whip will hold, ladies and gentlemen.
Very good.
Listen, we got to continue here. We got some good news coming up, but first, I want to tell you halfway through it right now, very beginning of the show, ladies and gentlemen, my delicious mango pineapple sugar free liquid IV. Which is another one. Add it to the list of my favorites.
You know what that is, Mike? That's a tropical treat right there. Mm. In the dead of summer, that's what you need.
It is a wonderful flavor combination, but that's no stranger to Liquid IV. They got tons of them. This program is sponsored by Liquid IV. It's really, really good stuff. You can power through that back-to-work grind, that back-to-routine grind. You can get outside and enjoy yourself. You can really, really hydrate better than you would with water alone because it's Liquid IV. We've told you about that. Their new IV, Liquid IV's Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier. Think creamy vanilla, candied orange. Mm. Hydration that works way harder than water. It's great. I do drink it every day. It's packed with 3 times the electrolytes of sports drinks, plus 8 essential vitamins and non-GMO, vegan, gluten-free, dairy-free, and soy-free. We got the sugar-free. That's the one I rely on. Mm-hmm. They've got it thanks to cutting-edge Live Hydroscience. Hit up liquidiv.com. Use the code TMOS at checkout and score 20% off your order. Now, listen, you can see Liquid IV in a lot of different places, but if you go through MikeOMaraShow.com and it's your first time purchasing Liquid IV, take advantage of that amazing discount, 20% off. It's worth it. Grab a stick, rip it open, start sipping, pipping. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water hydrates better than water alone. Savor the last bits of summer with Liquid IV. I love it when you bring Broadway into the commercials.
Every day, just a little Benverine, Mike.
Live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with the code TMOS. Checkout is where you get that 20% off. Orange Vanilla Dream. Yum, yum. TMOS, Liquid IV. Do it. The combo gets you 20% off, ladies and gentlemen. All right. Thank you for playing it again. I appreciate that. Hey, guess what? I'll play mine, too.
Oh, good.
A law firm in California says Delta and United Airlines could face federal class action lawsuits over allegations they sold window seats without a window. I like it anytime now. I put a news story in anytime the airlines are getting crap because they've diminished their quality and service so totally. They've made the experience such a goat F that I like to see, even if it's not going to come to fruition, I like to see people tackling the airlines.
Do you remember? I barely remember when flights were not what they are now. I don't remember like a coat and tie era. But yeah. I do remember proper dressing and proper service and politeness and all of that.
I remember, because I don't remember that far back either, and that's when everybody was wearing jackets, it's, you know, because that goes way, way back to the prop planes they have. But I do remember food service, and especially in first class, being a big deal. I can't tell you where I was going, but I had a contract with one of the radio companies that required us right at the end of a deal that we were doing, a multi-year deal, they threw in first class travel. So Don and I were able to fly first a couple of times during my career, and there's one where I do seem to remember they rolled out an actual roast and were carving a roast and giving people. And I thought that was the coolest thing I'd ever seen.
The weirdest thing about that, Josh, is that it was another passenger that was doing it. It was a carry-on roast.
Yes, it was. And we all shared. Sometimes the wind.
I think it's as bad as they treat us. I think the way airlines treat us has also read why people dress and act the way they do it.
Oh, I think it. Yeah, I think it's built upon each other. If they're going to do this, we're going to do this, and vice versa.
It might be the fact that for a while it got super cheap, which it did with discount. I think the reason people dress the way they do is because of the discount airfares on that. You know, it became a thing, and we're more casual now than we've ever been.
But thanks a lot, People's Express.
Sometimes the window isn't lined up with the row. I've been in a plane that, like that, possibly because airlines squeeze the space between rows as much as possible, which they do. But there are other times when there's no window at all. For example, some Boeing 737 sardine cans have a row on the left side ahead of the wing where vertical air conditioning ducts run behind the wall panels, so there's no window. Airlines sometimes use aisle and window generally to describe where the seat is positioned. And, you know, I don't know how many people have traveled recently, but when you select your seats, it's no longer, hey, this looks good, I'll sit here. It's click on it to see how much extra they're going to charge you for that particular seat.
It's like a bad video game.
It's BS.
It is.
Well, this could be a problem when there's no window when you get a window seat, because many airlines charge extra for the window seats. See, I always thought they charge extra for the legroom, but you might
be
right.
They charge extra for everything now.
For everything.
Yeah, they do.
So if somebody is actually paying for a window view and there isn't one, they could join this particular lawsuit.
Now, you prefer the window to the aisle, don't you?
I am addicted to the window. It's a big deal.
I'm opposite.
Carla has busted my chops for 20 years about this, where it's just like, okay, I think I'll sit here today. Stop it. You know I have flying anxiety.
Josh likes the middle seat.
I do. Yeah, the middle seat.
Well, some people do, Rob, because they don't want to put their elbows out on the row where people are banging into them, and they don't want to look out the window.
I guess it's just I think you're always compromised with the window on the middle because
you are.
Well,
I mean, I remember the middle seat is. I remember I told you the story about having a window seat. Full flight.
Yeah.
And there's a pilot that gets on and he's coming down the aisle. He appears to be about 900 pounds.
Sure.
And I'm going, please God, no, please God, no, please God. Bam. Squeezes down in the middle seat. He is sound asleep before pushback. He is, his eyes are closed and lights out.
I'm jealous of people that can do that.
I couldn't stand it. So there are a couple of things worth pointing out. These airlines were singled out because others like American do alert customers that some seats have, quote, no window view. This shows up on the seat booking page in the Apple. Isn't that nice? They give a little commercial for American. Some customers think it's a perk to have a wall seat without a window because it's easier and more comfortable to nap against the side.
That's valid.
I get that.
Yeah.
There's no comment from the airlines, but it's possible this could lead to them removing the surcharge for seats with no window. Oh, isn't that nice?
The airlines actually said they would comment for $25.
Right. They'll remove the surcharge for the window, add a surcharge for the wall.
Yeah.
But wall charge. It's unlikely they will remove the surcharge. The more likely result is they stop using the terminology window seats and only use the seat numbers, which will just make things more confusing and annoying. Yay, airlines. Isn't that great? Thank you. So anyway, that's
They have the same problem with a lot of Kia automobiles. There's just no window. And they need to, you got to adjust.
Don't roll them. A study from the University of Otago in New Zealand found that doing some light exercise before bed can help you sleep in longer the next day. I would give anything to figure this problem out. I have no trouble going to sleep. I am literally incapable of sleeping in or sleeping even longer. It just rarely happens without
years of being a morning guy.
Yeah,
you can't beat it. It's better for you to get up at the same time every day.
Now, this is cool. I like this, and I think I might try it. All you have to do is pick some simple moves like chair squats, calf raises, standing knee lifts, and do them every 30 minutes for 4 hours before bed. What? Hold on. I didn't get that far. 4 hours?
No. You do it for like 1 minute every 30 minutes for 4 hours.
Oh, like in between episodes of your favorite television shows.
Like on a commercial break, you do some
chair lifts. Doesn't work for me. I'd rather do something intense that's like right before bed. Well, let me go on.
It's your fault of the layout of your house, Mike. My mild exercise before bed is climbing the steps.
It's my fault for not reading further in the story. Participants in the study who moved around in the evening slept 27 minutes more than when they stayed glued to the couch. They went to bed at the same time but woke up later. You're probably thinking, you want me to exercise 8 times before bed? Yes, I might be. But each mini set could only last 3 minutes. So it's only 24 minutes total. Oh, F.
So you do 24 minutes of exercise to sleep an extra 27 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
Just go to sleep 27 minutes early.
I was so positive when this story started. I really was.
Maybe
was
you should
so
have done positive. Some mild exercise before you read the story.
Perhaps I should have done
bends.
This is your reporter, your friendly reporter, doing his due diligence.
Well, here's what do you want me to do?
I'm your friendly reporter, and here's a friendly reminder. You should avoid heavy exercise before bed because it can raise your body temp and heart rate. So keep it light, and as a former person on this show would say, keep it tight. Here's the best part. You don't need a gym. The exercises were designed so you can do them in your living room without missing your favorite show. Even walking around the house or dancing counts. Well, now I'm in.
Dancing? Let's begin.
Any movement is better than just sitting on your couch. I get that.
Yeah.
I get that. I like the idea of
squats.
But
Mike, 4 hours till bedtime. You know what that means.
Yes, that's right. I go to Rio. Da-da-da-da-da. Is this her name was Lola?
Yes, Copacabana.
Hey,
long
everybody.
Intro on it.
Power 105, WAVA. It's a good-looking day to be in the Outer Banks. Hey, listen, do you have a low-lying home near the ocean? Might want to get the F out of there. That's right. Big Hurricane Aaron is going to come right up your dookie hole.
Her name was Lola. She anyway, was a showgirl.
Thank you. I'm here all week.
I already feel sleepy.
That's very good. Denzel, I'm my favorite. You know he's
the greatest,
my favorite.
Yeah.
He has a fascinating take on this episode is brought to you by IQ Bar, our exclusive snack sponsor. We're excited to announce they've teamed up with Thomas Keller, Michelin star chef of the French Laundry, on a new special edition product, a salted caramel chip protein bar. IQ Bar's plant protein bars are packed with clean, delicious ingredients that keep you physically and mentally fit. For example, my salted caramel chip IQ Bar has 12 grams of protein and only a gram of sugar, plus nutrients like Lion's Mane Adaptogen. And 10% of sales go to Chef Keller's nonprofit program, Mentor, supporting the next generation of aspiring U.S. chefs. With over 20,000 five-star reviews and counting, more people than ever are fueling their busy lifestyles with IQ Bars and all of their amazing products. I'm in love. When products are co-created by a Michelin star chef, they taste incredible. But what's even more important is how they make you feel. When I start my day with an IQ bar, I feel amazing. Right now, IQ Bar is offering our special podcast listeners 20% off all IQ Bar products, plus free shipping. To get your 20% off, text TMOS to 64,000. That's TMOS to 64,000. TMOS to 64,000. Message and data rates may apply. See terms for details. IQ Bar, the best. Cancel culture. Now, before I share this story with you, I can say, well, Denzel can have a take on cancel culture because it doesn't matter. Denzel's not going to have any problems because he's richer than, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But listen up. You don't need to worry about it, he says, because you don't need fans. Denzel was asked about cancel culture in a recent interview with Complex. I don't know what that is. And at first he played dumb, saying he didn't know what it meant, cancel culture. Mm-hmm. When the interviewer explained that it's when you lose public support due to something you've done, Denzel said, quote, "Who cares? What made public support so important?" The interview tried to explain, the interviewer tried to explain that fans and followers can be seen as currency. Denzel said, "I don't care who's following who. You can't lead and follow at the same time. I don't follow anybody. I follow God." He added, "You can't be canceled if you haven't signed up. Don't sign up." That's Denzel Washington.
But
so, you know, he's 70 now. It's an easy interview.
The interviewer's doing a bad job explaining cancel culture. Mm-hmm. Because it's not about your followers, it's that he would lose work.
That's true, but I think that what he's saying is in broad terms correct, at least for him.
Yeah.
Is that, you know, think what you want, but if it doesn't affect the way I'm doing my stuff, then it's useless. And I think Denzel is one of the few people that have built up enough, like a driver's license. He's built up so many plus points through the years of being in great movies and being well-liked. I don't know much about him as a person, but I like him very much as an entertainer. It would be hard to cancel him, I think.
I will look back at the end of my life. I will look back on these decades, or let's say this 4 to 5 year period,
mm-hmm.
as nothing short of total insanity.
I agree.
You know, you have cancel culture on one side, and on the other side, you have some of the greatest examples of bigotry I've ever seen in my lifetime. And it just makes me want to just shake my head and hit it against the wall. I can't. It just stuns me. You know, you can have people saying, you said this, mm-hmm. and you said it mistakenly, making a bad joke, you're canceled. And then we can have Jews will not replace us marching on the streets of Charlottesville, Virginia. Does it ever make you nuts to just think of it, just to try to process it?
It's easy nuts. To process, Mike. I used AI last week. Forgive me if I've said this already. I don't think I did. I said, explain the rise of Nazism to me like I'm a kid. Make it understandable at the most base level.
Yep.
And it came up with like six paragraphs written at like a little golden book level. But you could almost tick the boxes of the playbook.
Yep.
And it's driving me crazy that no one can see this happening.
I don't know if no one can see it happening. Well, I think there are a lot of people that are talking about it, but at the supporters, same time,
his supporters are not seeing it happen or choosing to ignore it.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It is.
You know, but I mean, I also think that it's I think more people than not just want to see. I just want to see this over. This part of our history. I feel that way. I mean, it makes me crazy. You know what doesn't make me crazy? Watching a Quentin Tarantino movie. And I've got a Quentin Tarantino story. I don't want to get mired in my depression about certain things.
This will cheer you up. Rolando has sent a lovely super chat because he liked the way you talked up the song.
Oh, thank you very much, Rolando. I'll do that more often. I'll take $20 for any talk up on any song. You give me the song, you pony up the buckage, and I will talk that song up, ladies and gentlemen. Back to Quentin.
Please.
Quentin Tarantino recently appeared on, have you ever heard of this podcast? The Church of Tarantino podcast?
Mm-mm.
I haven't heard of that. He was asked which of his films is his favorite. And the cool thing about it is he picked two that I like the most, too. He said, quote, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my favorite. Inglourious Basterds is my best. Those are my two favorites.
And that's an interesting point, is that when you have a favorite and a best. For example, I always thought that Blazing Saddles was Mel Brooks's funniest film. But technically, Young Frankenstein is a better movie, if that makes any sense. Yeah. So I can see what he's doing, you know.
I'm a huge Tarantino fan.
Sure.
He goes on to say, I think Kill Bill is the ultimate Quentin movie, like nobody else could have made it. Kind of agree with that, too.
I say Pulp Fiction.
That's an ultimate Tarantino movie.
That's the template
movie.
For him, I think.
Every aspect, he goes on to say, every aspect about it is so particularly ripped from my imagination. Kill Bill is the movie I was born to make. Inglourious Basterds is my masterpiece, but Once Upon a Time in Hollywood is my favorite. Yeah, that makes so much sense to me because I'm such a big fan. I get the fact that the idea of rewriting history, which really began with Inglourious Basterds and then was changed a little bit, maybe lightened up for Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. I just like it. And I know he's got his 10th coming up. Elsewhere in the interview, Tarantino said he wrote the script for his Once Upon a Time in Hollywood follow-up, but he will not be directing it. David Fincher will direct it instead for Netflix. He said he didn't want his 10th and final film to be a sequel, but there's still no word on what the last move will be. At one point, it was going to be something called The Movie Critic, but his reason for not moving forward with that is kind of funny. Here's what he says. Every Tarantino title promises so much, except The Movie Critic. Who wants to see a movie about an effing movie critic?
He brings back the flamethrower in that, but it's being used by Gene Siskel.
Gene Siskel. Oh, yes.
I hate how he does this. I'm only doing 10.
Yeah, I know.
Because his hands are all over 40 movies.
Yeah.
Yeah, but he's only directing 10. Yeah.
The directing is what he doesn't want to do anymore.
But it's making it even more about him.
His movies
are already about him.
They are. You
know what? Let him do it because he's been responsible for more great movies in our lifetime than probably any other director.
I agree.
And he's right Once Upon a Time in America is so beautifully done with little gimmicks you don't realize. And I'm sorry, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
Are you not a fan, Josh? Are you not a Tarantino fan?
I think he is fine. I think him as a person I do not like.
Oh,
well, he's hard to look at.
He's in line for
that
one,
much ego.
You know what? If you didn't like him, then you really wouldn't have liked a guy you used to work with named Jeff Schrinsky.
Sales guy looked like Tarantino.
Acted like Tarantino, yeah.
Hey, guys. Hey, how you doing?
Finally today, a middle school teacher in Spring Hill, Florida, is facing charges after he apparently got drunk between classes and crashed his car into a fence in the school's parking lot.
Mr. Spiewak.
A campus police officer found the 32-year-old English teacher passed out behind the wheel with his car still in gear. It happened around 11:45 in the morning.
It's a nice
on
touch.
The second day of the school year. They thought it was some kind of medical issue at first, but then they saw a bunch of single-serving alcohol bottles in his car next to him. He refused to have his blood tested at the hospital, but a cop noted he smelled like alcohol. The cops posted about it on Facebook. Several people left comments saying they were shocked because he's an excellent teacher. Well, I got news for you, people. Dean Martin was an excellent singer. Ernest Hemingway was an excellent writer.
That's true.
And Rob Spiewak was an excellent talker.
Thank you.
There we go. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. We've got more show coming up, but first I want to tell you about a brand new sponsor of the Mike O'Mara Show. This episode is powered by Incogni, your personal data's bodyguard. Here's the deal. Data brokers scoop up your info, your names, your addresses, even your social security numbers, and they sell it to whoever's paying. Scammers, spammers, creepy marketers, you name it. That's why your phone won't stop ringing. God, do we need this?
Mm-hmm.
Your inbox is a mess, and identity theft is always lurking. Data breaches jumped 72% in 2023 from the previous year. Incogni fights back. They automatically wipe your data from over 230 brokers, keep monitoring, and push back when brokers resist. You stay off their lists, period. With four flexible plans, protection always fits you and your family. And you're covered by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Bottom line? Bottom line. Huh? Bottom line guy. If your data's out there, you need Incogni. Use TMOS, the code, at following link. At the following link. What is that saying? Use code TMOS at following link?
At the following link. You're about to get the link.
You needed a V in there.
Okay.
At the following link to get an exclusive 60% off an annual Incogni plan. Incogni.com/TMOS. That's Incogni, Incogni.com/TMOS. Can I ever call it Incogni just for fun?
Yeah, if anything you want. I signed up for it over the weekend. It's super easy to do, very reasonable, and I will keep you updated if spam calls come to an end for me.
Oh,
because,
man,
I'm excited.
I would love it. Even with the identification of, spam or marketer, it's still, you need more help. You really do need more help.
All these calls from Hormel, and they come up spam call. And I don't want to, blow that off.
Let's, we might as well cover the elephant in the room. I tried to channel my inner Josh Soroka on the weekend, the only thing you can do when it's 98 degrees, you literally are forced into the pool. A lot of people, tons of people in Florida, it's kind of SOP to, if you have it with a pool, you have a house, you can at least survive the summer. I took to the pool. And I took to the pool for another sponsor because I didn't think Josh Soroka should be the only one doing poolside commercials for Fair Harbor. I thought it would be important for me to do it.
Yes, Josh, important is the word.
Josh, would you like to share with the listening audience what your casual observation was?
Rob, have you seen this video yet?
I scrolled by it and saw that it was there, but I assumed we'd be discussing it on the show, so I wanted to see it live, if that's cool.
Let's just say it looks like Mike's foot is dead.
Oh.
The tan line is so bad.
Oh, dear. That's not okay.
I play a lot of golf. Let's take a peek, shall we?
Yes.
Hi, everybody. Here I am on a beautiful 98-degree day. The only place you should be.
in water, surrounded by water, whether it's a pond, a river, a lake, the ocean, I don't care, a pool. And I'm wearing my fabulous Fair Harbor shorts, the same color that Josh has.
Yeah.
Now, there are no quick cuts, no fancy editing, because basically Josh knows how to do that, and I don't. But I can certainly swim out of frame if Carla holds the camera steady. Fair Harbor shorts and the Mike O'Mara show, they go together like pancakes and syrup.
That's not their logo motto.
Sorry, but there's the dead foot. That's the dead foot. Right there. There it is.
Josh, does it mean anything if I say the words Toadie Fields to you?
I don't know that name.
Oh, come on. Amputated leg.
I'm just saying. My God.
All right, commenters. I am ready. Yes, I do have a... Yeah. And by the way, the black hair on the stomach followed by the white hair on the chest is a look that says you're getting a little long in the tooth.
I don't know. That's it says it to your body is your body's in mid-September.
And Rob, my body is a wonderland.
It is.
And I've also never seen a float like that that you're on.
Well,
yeah, it looks rather high tech.
You can thank the Mart of Wall for providing me with when I went to the Walmart to get plumbing supplies to fix my outside hose, I will tell you that I saw that, and it was, I believe, in the neighborhood of $5. So it was,
Did it come inflated?
No, I had to inflate. My philosophy on anything pool is cheap as humanly possible, because it doesn't matter what you spend on it. You can spend a fortune on floating things for the pool, but they are all going to get crappy at some point.
Even noodles, Mike. Even the noodles.
Well, yeah, the noodles are cheap. The noodles are cheap to start with.
All right.
You know. And by the way, Carla hit me to another website with cheap clothing, cheap shoes. Sheen, are you familiar with Sheen?
Oh yeah, were you playing
to you about Sheen on the show? Like
I thought it was
ago.
DHgate that you talked to me about.
No, we've not talked about too. DHgate. I don't think.
DHgate was for the jerseys. We've talked to you about Sheen.
You talk, and then Timu. Is there any Josh? Am I missing any other ones that?
I'm sure.
I guess I did.
Alibaba.
If you want to order 1,000 of something.
Yeah, you can't do that well on. Thank you, Terry. I agree. Sexy is the way I would describe that.
Yes.
That's all I was waiting for. I was waiting for either an obnoxious or a nice comment in the comments section.
Did you purposely play the almost comedic Florida trope of boogie shoes in the background while you were doing it?
That was Mrs. O'Mara. I think. No. That was real music coming from a speaker that we had outside. That's where that came from.
So was it like from Spotify or was it like a service?
It's from DoraPan.
Oh, I like DoraPan. I use
DoraPan's great. Yeah. So I went to the Mart of Wall and I see these things. And by the way, very limited supply of floating things. I really, when it's really hot,
we all float down here.
I like to.
We're all floating down here. You're gonna die down here.
I will tell you that I truly, truly enjoy the pool at best when I'm floating on something. That to me is real use of the pool. Two things I like to do in the pool. Neither is just standing or swimming. I like to either float or I like to throw the football with my kid. Those are the two primary
activities. I envision you like when here comes Quentin Tarantino again.
Quentin writes, did Michael build the float in shop class? Thank you. That's what I'm looking for. Sometimes I need our audience to step up a little bit. That's the way I like it.
Aren't you out there like in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, running your lines?
Yeah.
Like just floating there with
a boombox next to me?
I think it's a reel-to-reel
tape recorder. And a margarita that I have. Mrs. O'Mara will not acquiesce in the next major product. And it's expensive that I wish to acquire. She says we have enough devices in the kitchen, so she will not allow the purchase of it.
A kitchen device. Are we allowed to guess?
Yeah, go ahead.
Is it a new, very, very powerful blender?
In a
or
way.
Or if it's wearing, Mike, Blendor?
In a way.
Yeah,
it is.
Is it one of those like milkshake smoothie machines?
It is. It is a slushy machine, and I love my frozen beverages.
Is it one that you've seen online?
Yes,
because they have one.
Yeah, but they don't have any discount on them online, right? On the Chinese websites, they don't have any.
I just say
ones.
That because when you go into the cost company and on your right. there's like the impulse buys. And I don't know what the strategy is. It's usually like vitamins and toothpaste.
Yes.
But yesterday I went there and they had a slushy machine built by Ninja at Costco.
That's the one.
Yeah, that's okay. The one. That's like the $350
one. That's the Ninja one.
Yeah, $329 is what my Costco was asking
for. Not a chance. There's, right. First of all, not even a slice. So it's about half that if you go to China. But I don't know if I'm, if I'm going to pull the, I can't, even with a cheaper one.
Well,
that's not worth $300.
With the foreign build, machine. You might get to make a lead slushy.
Well, yes, exactly. Flex of heavy metals.
I can't move into my jaw. Stomach,
which is wonderful. I like that.
Well, if you want the $300 slushy machine, you just have to go out every morning and purchase yourself a slushy so that you show the value of it.
That's true.
Right. You'd be saving so much money.
Yeah, because that's $300. That's a year. You have to get a slushy every day to justify. No, because slushies are like how much?
$5.
$5 for a slushy. But I'm not using them for slushies. You can't get a boozy margarita, frozen margarita, or a pina colada.
Kind of thing that if you made a big batch of margaritas and you didn't finish it, you could just leave the thing on all the time?
Like you mean like in a 7-Eleven?
Yeah.
Like it's ready to go.
Yeah.
The one that I would love to have is the commercial grade one that we see in bars where they make the frozen concoctions. When I want a frozen drink, the worst ones, in my humble opinion, are the ones you get from a bartender with a regular blender. They're not. There's no point. Well, but if you got that little machine that churns it up and freezes the liquid,
it's already frozen. That's the deal. I think you should get one, Mike.
Walmart.
And I think.
Has one for $170.
A Ninja?
No, it is a sweet slushy machine.
Yeah, that's garbage. That breaks three minutes after you use it.
You need the slushy machine and also a fruit juice bubbler like they used to have at Orange Bowl with the big tank on top.
I think I'll buy my slushy machine from Tong Tai Fei.
Yeah, make a soy sauce slushy.
Yeah, that's good. I look forward to it. So anyway,
I'm gonna get canceled for that
slushy. Yeah, I cancel me. Go ahead, knock your socks off.
No.
Go ahead.
No one will cancel you.
No, you have to have a following. That's the way that works.
Hey, what if you could find a slushy machine that floated? Then you could use it in the pool.
Waterproof. Hey, welcome back, Relief Band.
Yay.
How about that? Do anybody have their Relief Bands they can show? I forgot to bring mine in.
Look at there.
There it is. That's the brand new model right there.
The premiere, right?
But that's a classic example of someone who's sponsor aware and someone who's not. Josh holds up the box.
Try better, Josh. You see, mine's already charged and ready to go. Right there. See?
Okay.
Ta-da.
There it is. Welcome back, Relief Band. If nausea is your enemy, Relief Band is your weapon. I swear by this. I recently took my son out on a fishing trip with his little mates, and I wore it the whole time. This isn't some gimmick. It's the original anti-nausea wristband. It is clinically proven to crush motion sickness, migraines, hangovers, anxiety, chemo side effects, and more. You just strap it on, set the intensity, and boom. It is really an insurance policy if you get motion sickness or you have that. I've used it. It works.
It's the only product I purchased years ago as a listener to the Mike O'Mara Show.
Mm-hmm.
And I use it on every cruise I go on.
Yep.
And I use it for VR when I have to wear those goggles because I get motion sickness.
Fantastic.
It's outstanding.
I've used it at KD for the thrill rides.
No drowsiness, no side effects. Wear it before symptoms hit or after they start. It works either way. The new Premier Plus model even packs smart skin sensing tech, a built-in clock, and longer battery life. And remember, this isn't magic. It's FDA-approved science, first used in hospitals, and now it's in your hands. Nausea doesn't stand a chance against Relief Band. Even if you flirt with nausea and motion sickness, get this, it's so good. If you want to cure your nausea problem fast, join the hundreds of thousands of people who are nausea-free with Relief Band. Right now, we've got an exclusive offer just for our listeners. If you go to reliefband.com and use that wonderful code TMOS, you will get 20% 20% off, plus free shipping. So head to reliefband.com, reliefband.com, and use our promo code for 20% off, plus free shipping. And we thank you, ladies and gentlemen.
You know, what they don't mention is how easy it is to charge. It charges on your computer with a USB. Mm-hmm. And it's an amazing thing. It worked then, works now, and thank you for coming back. They're a great client. Love them.
Boy, I don't know where to start here. Do you want to, Rob, do you want to do the cameo game, or do you want to do the sugary soda? Do you want to confess?
I think I will confess, because I think the cameo game is going to need a little more time than we have, but it's something that will certainly last.
Okay.
Carrie is house-sitting / dog-sitting this weekend, so I was home alone with the dogs, and Robert went out he went golfing on Saturday, and we were supposed to go shopping on Sunday. And I said, are you ready to go grocery shopping? He said, no, Dad, too hungover.
Oh, wow.
I said, wow. Why are you hungover? Right. He said, his buddy made a punch. I said, like a Borg? Feeling pretty hip. And he said, no, it was three parts, and it was ginger ale, grape juice, and vodka. Ugh. I said, you know that sugar makes you have a hangover.
Well, you also don't taste the alcohol. Did you warn him about the gene, the family gene?
That would be like warning him that he's being hit by a car as he's being hit by a car. I think everyone in the family knows about
that. I might disagree with that premise.
I think he lived through it.
Yeah.
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 Why do you disagree with the premise?
No, I already make noise to Michael about having the family gene. You know what I mean?
What, being Irish?
Not just Irish, but just...
Which gene?
about having, watching it. You got to be aware. Because
I think
he
knows. Julia doesn't touch the stuff, and I think he knows. So I'm not worried. He doesn't drink very often because mostly he, stays home and goes to work. So I see him. But anyway, I was there alone on Sunday, and I was watching a great, great old TV show and having something to eat. It was macaroni and cheese. I said, do you know what would be really great right now?
Was it out of a box?
No, I made it from scratch.
Okay, all right.
We didn't have a lot of ingredients Saturday night, so I said, I've got the ingredients to make mac and cheese from scratch. So I did.
So what kind of cheese did you use?
I used a blended Mexican cheese. You start with a roux of flour and butter, and then you thicken it with a little bit of milk, and you throw in. I put in a half cup of sour cream, about 2 cups of cheese, and I put it on penne pasta.
Oh, I think it's marvelous. Some of it really fine.
With Mike, a beautiful, beautiful club cracker topping. It was very, very good. But
so you had the crust on it, huh?
Yeah. So it's a salty, very, very savory.
Was there enough for others?
There still is.
Okay, good. Good,
yeah.
Good to hear.
Right. It was a pound of pasta. It made a nice 9x13 pan. Okay. So I'm eating it, and I said, this is great, but I'm out of lemonade. I'm out of anything that I would normally drink because I like to water down lemonade and drink it. And there's in the fridge, there is an ice cold can of Coca-Cola. And I'm just alone with the Coke. And I said, you know what?
You broke down.
I broke down. And I looked at it this way.
You didn't break down with the booze ever, though.
Yeah, no, yeah. I never have. I never have. As a matter of fact, Mike, this weekend, 41 months sober. So I looked at that Coke as a celebration, because the Coke is not going to kill me the way a 12-pack of vodka would kill me. So I treated myself, and I went to Costco after that, and here is my solution. Moderation in everything, Mike, especially what?
Moderation.
Exactly. So I bought baby Coca-Colas.
No.
And that's just for occasional use. That's coming back,
shut up,
Mike.
Josh. No. Yeah. No.
And besides, look, you can tell
people. Love, Josh. He needs tough love here. He needs tough love here. That's poison.
No, the alcohol was poison. Everyone's got some type of poison.
Sugary. He can have that moderation. Sugar soda. All right. You own it.
Do you want him to give up the sugar soda and go back to the alcohol? You got to have something.
No.
I got to
no,
have something, Mike.
I don't want him to go back.
It's not
going to
be booze. It's not going to be booze.
Rob, your doctor, what did your doctor say to you?
Cut back. Aha! So I did.
You are the king of rationalization. It is not going to work. I want you to live. I want you to live.
That's a valid point.
Having sugary soda, chasing down 7,000 grams of fat with mac and cheese is probably not good for your internal organs. That's just my opinion.
I am doing the best I can, and that is all that anyone
asks. You really, though? Are you really doing the best?
To not have
any... Are you feeling your very best?
No, because I think that Prozac makes me cry at bedtime. I've woken up three times now crying.
You're a mess, man.
Tell me about it. You think I don't like it?
You have to... Listen, can I just tell you something about beverages? Because really, you remember back in the day when Don would drink the diet beverages?
Diet Cherry Coke, yeah.
Like the cauldron of them, and I would drink... What did I drink?
Evian.
I drank water.
Yeah,
I drank water every single day.
The interns were told, three medium bottles or two large bottles of Evian per show.
That, thank you for that detail. I
remember
that.
Yeah.
And it just... Look... When I'm out, out in 98 degree weather, if I didn't have the liquid IV, which by the way, someone has hit me to the fact that the liquid IV is not pure water, but I do it because it is a multiplier, and I do better in the heat with liquid IV. But I make sure it's sugar free because that is a big deal. Liquid sugar gets into your system quicker, and it causes problems quicker. As well. That's what
I can't imagine the last time that I went 6 weeks without a soda, but I did this time.
And weren't we just talking about a slushy machine?
What are you saying? I'm being a hypocrite?
A little bit.
Well, Mike's still allowed to drink. Mike is still allowed to drink.
So Mike's allowed to.
Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Do you like sugary sodas too, Josh?
I do.
I knew it.
I do. I don't drink them a ton.
What's that?
I don't drink them that often.
Okay. But I mean,
but you like the Red Bulls, and that's even worse, I think.
I am working my way off the Red Bull. I've got a thing of tea today.
Have your feet ever swollen up big?
No.
Okay. No.
All right.
No, my blood work has been perfect.
Has your feet ever appeared dead in a pool?
My thin foot?
Yeah, your thin fake foot. Yeah.
You know, you need to spend some time like spend some time like Rob and I without socks. Just go barefoot outside a little bit.
Why are we flipping this on me? Why are you trying? I'm trying to keep him alive.
And my feet are no longer swollen. Thank you.
I am trying to keep this man alive. And after I'm gone, he might be the one that you're doing this show with. You want to keep him alive as long as possible. Come on now.
You know I'm going to die first. Come on.
No, you're not. No, I don't like to think. That's terrible to say that. I've got 10 years on you, bud.
I know.
I've got 10 years on you right now.
Yeah, sugary, but you're not drinking sugary sodas, so you're going to live forever.
What? All right, if you can tell me that you're... No. I was so proud of you when you quit. Remember how happy I was when you quit?
Yeah, you were delighted. And you know what, Mike?
Think I'm delighted because it's depriving you, or delighted because I think you're going to be healthier?
I think it's delightful to you because it's going to be good for me, which is fine. But you know what else is good is having something to look forward to.
And
there's news stories all the time about some lady who drank Dr. Pepper and smoked cigarettes and lives to 110.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Of course, there are exceptions to every single rule. But I'm saying
maybe Rob's an exception.
Well, Rob has had his health concerns in the past.
Yes.
Yes.
He almost died, Josh. He almost died. And now exclusively alcohol, correct?
That's right. That's right.
There were other factors, and why did the doctor say you should how did you put it, cut back?
Yeah. Yeah,
he said because the blood sugar, correct?
Yeah, of course.
I have lived in that world as well.
I'm no longer drinking
6 months ago.
Well, like I was going to say, I was drinking 5 or 6 a day. Every day.
And how many do you plan? Well, you've purchased the 12-pack now, so I mean...
As an insurance policy. That's all. That's all.
Oh, you're not going to do it? I can't tell you what to do. I just care. I just care about
and
health.
I love that you care.
Look, by the way, I'm not being a hypocrite, Josh, simply because I know that there are plenty of things I do that are wrong as well, and I would welcome the ball busting about what I do. I mean, I completely agree. I lost 80 pounds. I was out of control, completely out of control. And I still have moments that I go out of control. I go out of control with food. And that's and sugary food. I love sugar. I think a lot of fat people love sugar.
Well, I think everybody loves sugar. So it's just a matter of you can control
it. Sugar scares me, Josh. That's what it is.
Well, I'll tell you.
Scares me.
I also purchased the mini Cokes this weekend. The same mini cans. Not for myself.
You also can see your Schweinsteiger. Rob and I can't.
No, but that's what I'm saying. It's because
I can if I'm motivated.
I don't have a problem with myself drinking soda. I don't want the kids to. So we bought the mini packs. So if there is a slip up and the kids get a hold of it,
right,
they only get a small
Where
one.
Do you line up on diet beverages?
Oh, I don't. I think
I
diet
wouldn't.
Beverages are worse than regular beverages.
You know, I actually thought about it.
It can be made with the chemicals.
I thought about it this weekend. I said, what if I got myself a case of Diet Coke in case I get the urge? And I thought, A, it doesn't taste good, so it's not really going to bridge that gap. And B, I do think that although the high fructose corn syrup and all the ingredients in Coke that are sweet are not good for you, I would rather have something like that than all the chemicals. I mean, every time they've sweetened a diet soda, it comes out that it leads to cancer or something like that. I don't need that. I don't want artificial sweeteners.
Sugar can lead to cancer, too.
Yeah, it can. Well, and anything can.
So can that cell phone and
the
Wi-Fi. But yeah. I like to think of your 12-pack of sodas out in the garage kind of like a guy who quit smoking, but he has some cigarettes hidden away just in case.
That's my old man
really
right
stressful.
There. That's
he
my
did
old
that?
Man. He had a stash, and he was so bad at it. it's sad. I don't want to tell this story. I'll briefly. I found it after he had returned to the hospital for one of his 10 or 14 trips that he went, and I tore them all apart. I was so pissed that I stumbled upon them, like looking for what are those dish towels that you put out for doing dishes in the kitchen? My
towel?
Mom said, find
a dish
it's
towel.
In the dish towel drawer, whatever. And I go back and I see a carton of Territons, which wasn't even his brand.
Hey, I'd rather fight than switch.
Fight than switch. And I tore them up. I remember that. But to make a long story short, it's just with the, you know, it's very much top of mind when I thought
understand.
About that.
And, you know, I didn't enjoy the fact that I did it, but I will tell you this. I really enjoyed the Coke. It was so good.
Mm-hmm.
It was fantastic. And I don't think
that good.
Oh, it is.
Because no,
I don't think if I were to go and make myself my favorite alcoholic drink right now and I tasted it, I don't think I would go like, that's it. But that's what I did when I tasted the Coke.
All right. If he dies, Josh, it's on you. Okay. Let's move on, ladies and gentlemen.
I'm not going to die on Josh.
That would be scary.
That would be a double murder.
A double murder. That's funny. We're going to have a quickie video, right? Because we're almost out of time.
I've got about 60 minutes of video coming up.
Are you having trouble shutting your brain off at night? Souls Out of Office Gummies. You got that?
I like that.
You've got that? There it is.
Yeah.
Souls Out of Office Gummies are your ticket to calm, helping you relax, quiet the noise, and drift off naturally with the perfect mix of CBD and THC. They deliver a smooth buzz that melts stress, lifts your mood, and sparks creativity. Choose your vibe from a light 1.5 milligram microdose to the bold new 15 milligram gummy when you want to fully unplug. I love that expression.
Yeah.
Go away, I'm unplugged.
Yeah, don't call me after 8 p.m.
If you prefer sipping, try the new out-of-office beverage, a refreshing alcohol-free way to unwind, solo or with friends.
Mike, sugar-free those beverages.
There it is. And when it's deep restorative sleep you're after, Souls Sleep Gummies have you covered. Every product, hemp-derived, delicious, crafted with wellness in mind, so you can actually feel good about feeling good. Bring on the good vibes and treat yourself to Soul today. Right now, Soul is offering our audience 30% off your entire order. Go to GetSoul.com and use the code TMOS. That's GetSoul.com, promo code TMOS for 30% off, ladies and gentlemen.
Hey, I like that. Some beautiful video.
Jerry time.
The real Bob Steele.
Good morning.
Let's start with hard news, Mike.
WTIC, Bob Steele. Here's the time.
And we'll have our oldie.
Hey, Bob. Up
here. Do you want to know what kind of radio performer had a 21 share? Bob Steele.
Hey, Bob, did you ever...
I'm from Wethersfield, Connecticut, Rob.
Did you ever report late to work?
Never in my life.
How many years?
I own my own show, you know.
Oh, you do?
Yeah, Bob Steele.
The Steele Show?
Time for our oldie.
What's the oldie today?
Henry Mancini. That's a real dude. Because Hartford, Connecticut, a very successful radio person.
Mike, hard news. I always am suspicious of people that hang around playgrounds if they don't have children. Maybe it's me.
I don't think it's you at all.
And no, I'm also suspicious of big fat people that think they can do things that they shouldn't do.
Really? Like what is that?
Well, like let's say you were a big fellow and you went down a slide that was an enclosed slide, you know, with a pipe. Not like an old-fashioned metal sliding board, but like a pipe. And maybe you're not going to fit.
Vernon somehow got himself stuck in a playground slide. Take a look at these photos from the Vernon Volunteer Fire Department. Firefighters say the man was stuck around 4:30 yesterday afternoon at Northeast Elementary School. When crews got there, they found the man wedged feet and head first down the tube.
Let's think about that for a second. He slid down feet first, and because he was too tall, he leaned forward, right? He didn't lay back. He leaned forward.
Not because he was too tall. He just did it, and it was a stupid thing to do, right?
Well, when he got stuck, his head was forced down by his feet, and that's no good.
Is that how he got stuck, or was that the position he got into, like, trying to get his body out?
I think that's how he was sliding, but the story is vague.
They said he was in extreme discomfort and needed oxygen from EMS. He was stuck in the middle section, and heat was a concern. Firefighters took the slide apart and got the guy out within 30 minutes. We spoke with a teen who grew up in the area.
It's kind of crazy because, like, the teachers used to say that, like, it's dangerous, but you never expect someone to get stuck. And it's kind of sad to see that, like, it in shambles and, like, not really together.
Okay.
How do you think the news director felt when they brought that actuality back?
You know, I've said for years, the local reporters,
yes,
with, you know, it's warm bodies. That's it.
Yeah.
They'll take it from it. They don't want to walk half a mile to get the person.
No.
That to me, I'm just looking at that.
We spoke to a teenager.
I was looking at that. We don't really know if he was fat or if he was just
according to I think it was fat. That was indicated in the transcript of the interview. You know, it comes with the interview and then, like, the
how do you get in that position?
Well, I think it is, he might have leaned forward to get going. You know?
Like tried to maybe slide his feet back
under
him.
Yeah, and then once you get under the tube, you can't lean back. Not if you're a big, fat, tall guy.
My God.
But he needed oxygen. But you know what, Mike? The meat was super tender. Did you watch the BMW yesterday, the golf tournament?
Yeah, another victory by Scotty Scheffler. I watched a little bit of it.
Well, yep. Scott Scheffler, a lot of people call him Scotty. He had a pretty good shot. I don't know if you would call it a good shot or not.
This is you know, when you're competing with the greatest player in the world.
Right.
And, you know, you're a guy.
Is that pretty much accepted now that Scheffler is the greatest in the world?
Without question.
Okay.
By all metrics, he is. And you are in the hunt where maybe there's a chance, but, you know, we'll find out on the 18th hole. No, not when you're Scottie Scheffler, because you close the door. You have to feel for this guy when Scottie hit this shot.
If they put this in Happy Gilmore 2, I would have said no way.
No way this happens.
How far out is he? 100 yards?
So far, at least. Maybe 80 yards.
And look at the beautiful pace of that ball.
Boom, center cut.
Can you believe what you just saw?
Yes, now there he is. There's the
Bobby
guy.
Mack
so sad.
I would. There's only good sportsmanship. You want to go at the top of your line. You want to go F you.
Mm-hmm.
Really. Just amazing shot.
And you know
I
what?
Wish we saw more of it. I wish we had a pre-shot.
I don't often say this. Kudos on the camera work.
Yeah.
For live sports, that's about as good as it gets.
Yeah, that was...
When you start with that huge shot and end up where you can see the logo on the ball,
yeah.
Amen, brother. Good job.
He's just the gold standard right now. He is so hot. It's amazing. I didn't mean his looks.
I do. Meanwhile, in Beijing, They got robots together to compete in sports.
Really?
And Mike, you would think if they've advanced robotics enough to have a sporting event, that it would go well. And it was well attended, and there were a lot of robots.
Have you seen the robots that do the massage with the arms? Where you,
I get ads for them all the time.
I get them all the time. And Josh, I think they sell them maybe over $100,000 for one of those machines.
Yeah. No, the ads are to go to places businesses that have purchased them and have them do the massage.
When you have one of those machines, is there a clear indication when the massage is over?
That's the $200,000 machine. Got a special attachment. Because
I would take a look at that. Anyway, Mike, the robots of Beijing. This is where we are at with robotics. And people might say, "Oh, that's AI." But if you did AI, they wouldn't look like this. They're playing soccer. Now they're boxing. Running.
Without an arm.
Without an arm.
Boxing again.
Why do they need headgear?
Don't know.
Did you hear what he said?
Yes.
Why do they need
headgear?
That freaks me out. That creeps me out. That really creeps me out.
I would watch that at halftime of the Super Bowl.
Why do they need headgear?
That's true. And why was that guy missing an arm? I've always wondered why they have
Do they scare you a little bit?
Of course.
They scare me.
And I don't like, why do they make all robots have to look humanoid? You know what?
So they can fit the headgear on.
I guess because they can wear a hat. You know what they need is a toupee.
this show. If you're not subscribed to this show, ladies and gentlemen, I don't know what the hell you're doing. This show is getting better and better, for Christ's sake.
Let's close with this. Josh is tattooed. I have a tattoo. Mike, you don't have a tattoo, but you don't rule it out.
I'm having trouble moving past that. Sorry.
You want a little more?
No, I'm good.
Are you sure?
This is my funny of the day. It's so simple. It's such a simple comment. It's so goddamn funny. Why do they need headgear?
Headgear.
Go ahead. I'm fine.
So, you know, we are mostly tattooed on this show. And when I went in to get my tattoo, I knew exactly what I wanted. I knew what it meant. All of Josh's tattoos have meanings. All of Julia's tattoos have meanings.
Mm-hmm.
But what I don't trust is going in and getting Asian characters tattooed on your body if you don't speak the language.
Oh, yeah. Dangerous.
Because they might not be what you want. So a Chinese teacher took pictures of Chinese character tattoos off the internet and translated them for us.
All right.
And let's see what happened.
I eat ass. 解行疑有有心天 gibberish. 棺材老 coffin man. 蟑螂 cockroach. 冰箱 refrigerator. 更失败 more failure. 志气信孟虎 gibberish. 酱油 soy sauce. 莫名其妙 odd. 劣质煤 low quality coal. 小便 pee. 心笑爱 star laugh love. 癌症家庭 娘父兄弟妹 cancer family mom dad older brother younger brother younger sister.
Wow.
Older sister, huh? By the way, this is cancer, not cancer.
And if you missed the first one, it was a tattoo that said, "I eat ass."
Does this mean there's some people out there that may have knowledge of these characters and are trying to pull a fast one, or what?
I believe that might be the case because it seems awfully specific. I could do something that looks like a Chinese character,
right,
but I wouldn't be indicating that it means refrigerator.
Are you scratching something right now?
Yeah, my hand.
Okay, I didn't know what was happening there. I thought you were...
I'm thinking about the massage machine, Mike.
There we go, headgear. We got to get out of here. We'll be back tomorrow with a brand new episode. For Josh Sorok and Rob Spiewak, look at the time. This is Mike O'Mara.
Wow.
So long, everybody.
Aloha.
Want more? Make sure you check out the Mike O'Mara Bonus Show. Get it at MikeO'MaraShow.com.
Mike O'Mara, Radio Entertainment.
That will never happen again, and I'm sorry.
Oh, you should see what it looks like from out here.
And what time did Mr. O'Mara's review come in last night?
Oh, he didn't come in here at all. We're all on computers now. You see, O'Mara wrote his reviews on his home computer and then sent it in here by modems over the telephone.
Oh, my goodness, how modern.